So, any luck today? Closing any
I've
deals?
had four shots of espresso.
Nice.
But yeah, I got a deal in today. So I just celebrated.
I feel it burning.
Right. Welcome, everyone. This is Jeff Leo Herman with Publisher Parish FM, and this is an awesome special edition. I'm so excited because guess who's here? Who's here? It's Lindsay Boggs.
Hello.
The famous Lindsay Boggs, the global leader in social selling, is here with us today. And we are thrilled to have you here.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
So are you, as you mentioned before in our conversation, you know, and I'll tell you what, the LinkedIn messaging system seems to be better than before. We've lost traction in other areas, but yeah, we are literally, this is the last good business day of 2015 effectively, right?
Yes, it is.
So any luck today? Closing any deals?
I've had four shots of espresso.
Nice.
But yeah, I got a deal in today. So I just celebrated. And after this, I'm going to close my computer and wrap presents.
Not perfect. Beautiful. That's great. Great. Well, you had an awesome year. Lots of success. I know lots of memories from 2015 as well.
I do.
That's good. So, and let's get started. So the goal here today is to really just, you know, this is a profile, a snapshot. Lindsay is number one. You're a fantastic example of how effective social selling can be. You're wonderful at building relationships. You're highly effective from a driving business standpoint as well. So wanted to give our audience here just a look into Lindsay Boggs and your success and anything you can share to help the audience out here.
Perfect.
So that's good. So just to get started, do you want to give us a brief background, a brief sketch?
Sure. So the high level pitch on myself is that I graduated with a degree in opera. So I speak French, German, and Italian, but that actually served me no good graduating because there were no jobs. So I went ahead and decided I want to get into sales. And it actually took me 9 months of courting a company to get an interview. But I finally got the first interview in software sales, and I got hired, and it was fantastic. I learned from the ground up. But what I learned very quickly and how I got into social selling was that what people were doing around me, which was cold calling and sending batch and blast emails, was not working to get appointments. So I went to LinkedIn as a necessity. I didn't think of it as like, I'm going to be a social selling pioneer. I looked at it literally like, I need appointments. Emails are not working. And I'm going to go to LinkedIn and see what I can find as far as territories. This was before Sales Navigator.
Right,
but
right.
This was when I could still sort by city, by state, and that's what our regions were divided. So that's when it all started. And I just kept doing it and kept doing it. And my first quarter on quota, I made my number, and then I made President's Club, and everyone's like, hey, Boggs, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'll tell you. And I did. And ultimately, they ended up following my path. And then from there, I just kept doing what I was doing. I went to another software company and had a team of lead gen folks. And I rolled out social selling there with LinkedIn. And we exceeded our numbers quarter after quarter. And then I got asked to speak at LinkedIn Sales Connect. And that's kind of where it skyrocketed.
Right, right, right. And so would you say, Lindsay, you had a breakthrough moment? Have you abandoned cold emailing and kind of volumetric prospecting completely? Or is this more of an emphasis on social selling?
I will tell you, honestly, I do not cold call hardly ever. I'll do a couple here and there just because I feel bad for not doing it. Don't tell my boss.
Right.
But I do cold email. But when I use the word cold, it's not like a high dynamic content first name. My name is dynamic content first name. You know, it's very much a cold email in the essence of I've never reached out to them, but the subject line is always personal and the body of the email is always personal. So
right.
I still do that. But I also reference the email. I reference the in-mail in the email. So I'll direct them back to LinkedIn every single time.
Right, right. Well, and you raise a great point, and we want to dig into your in-mail strategy specifically, but let's keep it high level here for a minute. So this notion of customization, and can you talk a little bit about how you can still move rapidly at scale, yet make it very customizable, very personal? And I think, you know, that being the effective technique, because it's so easy to filter out just the, like you said, insert dynamic field.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, I mean, I do have templates. I hate to use the word templates because people shriek at them. I have templates, and I like to call them shells. But for every email I send, I have a shell, and the shell is usually a little paragraph, and it's usually the pitch of my company. Mm-hmm. But prior to, I always leave room for the personalization, and I always have the one swipe rule. So if you realize you're sending a thesis, they're not going to open it. You got to think about the traveling professional on the road, checking email at a stoplight, checking email before they board. So you got to think of it as a one swiper, but my call to action in the middle of the in-mail and email is typically usually the same. So I do have a shell that I go to often. Mm-hmm. And any Mac users out there, there's this tool I use that has saved me hours and hours and hours. It's called Text Expander. And I keep my shells there. So there's a really cool app there if you want to download it to help. But I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. In fact, I'm taking notes on my whiteboard right here. Very good tips. Those will go in the show notes. So, you know, let's speak to the level, the impact of your relationship. So taking this more customized and personal approach has not only, of course, you've delivered, over-delivered on plan, but then how has that impacted your relationships longer term?
I mean, it's the best relationship building tool I have personally. When I go to a trade show, I mostly get the business cards of people, but you'll see me 9 times out of 10 just pull out my phone and just be like, hey, what's your first name again? Last name? Right. Okay, great. And then I add them. And I mean, business cards, I think, are going to go away eventually. I mean, I just have my LinkedIn app open. But as far as relationships, I mean, I've built so many relationships from LinkedIn that are true relationships that I call friends, I call colleagues. I have recruited people from it. I have been recruited from it. So I think beyond selling deals and beyond selling your software, whatever you may be selling, there's relationships to be had and relationships that manifest over the course of years.
Right, right. And this ability to create relationships at scale and maintain those connections at scale is what really is the breakthrough and what's been effective.
Yeah. And what I do too is when I'm traveling, I look at the city that I'm going to and I see who I know on a first connection basis. And then that's how I continue to build relationships. So whenever I'm in your city, I'll reach out and be like, hey, I'm in town, Jeff, let's connect.
Right, right,
And that's just how it's going to be. And the more people you connect with on a personal level, the better business you're going to get as well, because everyone likes to buy from people they like and buy from people they know.
Right. That's correct. That's correct. And yeah, that's the good old fashioned know, like, and trust rule. And this persistence, this, you know, relevant and very relationship driven persistence and highly intelligent approach just adds to that value. And you really can, you know, when you need it, you know, I'm sure you've gotten many bluebird situations where maybe you proposed business and it wasn't the right time or budget wasn't there. And here they come back, right? 6 months later.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally a person I prospected at Kohl's for 2.5 years. 2.5 years. I didn't give up. I finally got a meeting and now we're like besties. And I'm like, dude, did you really need to take 2.5 years to say yes to me?
Right, right, right.
But I'll take it, whatever.
Right. So what advice do you give to somebody that say has a pretty well mapped profile, but they're not actively using LinkedIn? So maybe they have, you know, their profile built out, but they don't, you know, log in on maybe only on a weekly basis. How would you explain to them what, you know, what they're missing by not actively engaging?
You're missing revenue. You're missing time. I spend about 70 to 90, it goes back and forth depending on the week, but 70 to 90% prospecting on LinkedIn. So I would say if you're not accustomed to logging in, instead of logging in once a week, try logging in once every 3 days. Try to build yourself up. Don't go full force where you can't focus because it's too much. Mm-hmm. But I do 30-minute power sessions where I actually turn my phone on airplane mode, literally airplane mode. And I just work on 30 minutes of a task, and it's usually in LinkedIn. And I just power out a bunch of emails. But if you haven't used LinkedIn, I think, you know, there is that training section in LinkedIn to help you get started. But the proof is in the pudding. If you just Google search SSI or you Google search in mailing, you're going to come up with a bunch of articles. And I personally would rather send 10 emails a day versus 200 personal emails a day, right?
Right, right.
Think about the time you're saving.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, and you raised two topics. Let's dig into InMail, and we're going to hit Social Selling Index here at the end. So let's talk specifically. So you have a widely acclaimed and widely embraced InMail strategy. Can you walk us through that InMail strategy? You've hinted at some aspects of it, but what's the daily routine like relative to your InMail strategy?
Well, first, there's a lot of coffee. Mm-hmm. And then I use Sales Navigator. So you get InMails in Sales Navigator. But my strategy is making sure all of your accounts are added in Sales Navigator. Mm-hmm. So if you have 60 accounts, 100 accounts, make sure those are all up to speed. And then find the person you're prospecting on LinkedIn. And I always go to their profile. That's the first thing I do. I want to know a little bit about them. Where did they go to college? Did they go to Florida State? Awesome. I can mention I went there too. Did they go to a competitor school? Great.
Even better.
I can't wait to tell them go Noles when they went to the University of Florida. So finding something that you can talk about. Could be college. It could be their hobbies. People put a lot of things in their profile about their hobbies. You mm-hmm. just have to look for them. Mm-hmm. So take those 2 to 3 minutes, and literally 2 or 3 minutes. It's not like you have to spend 30 minutes on this.
Right.
And find something to relate to them. Then you craft the InMail. So there's always a personal subject line. Usually my subject line is something like go Seminoles or big fan of Kohl's or whatever company you're prospecting, find something. And then the beginning part of my InMail is always personal. So, hi, Jeff, I see you went to Florida State, small world. So did I. I also see that, you know, and then insert 3 people's names. If you have mutual connections, use it to your advantage. Mm-hmm. Can't stress that enough. Use it to your advantage. Now, I will say the caveat to that is don't say Jeff referred me if Jeff never referred you. Get his authority first to say that, because you don't want to go pissing off your mutual connection.
Right. No.
So then I go into that and then I go in for the kill, which is where I say, hey, Jeff, I'm going to be in Salt Lake City in 2 weeks. Would you be open to connecting? And that's what I say, connecting, not meeting. When you say meeting, people think, oh God, she's going to walk through a demo. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you got to use words like connecting or network. People love to network. So, I mean, that's kind of what we're doing. So it's kind of there. So then I go in for my company, Etail Insights does blah, 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 like 2 or 3 sentences. Keep it high level, keep it mysterious so they want to know more. Name drop other companies you're working with. That's what I do. And then close. So Jeff, let me know if you'd be open to connecting in the next couple weeks over coffee, over lunch. That's it. And then, you know, best Lindsay. And that's it. So that's the first InMail.
Okay.
This is where people screw up, because they're like, oh, Lindsay, I sent an InMail, didn't work. I'm like, well, how many times did you send it?
Right. Once.
So this is where I'm like, guys, it's still prospecting. It's just a different channel to prospect. So you still have to be persistent. You mm-hmm. still have to be patient. You still have to be personal, but you have to do it with, you know, you've got to have a strategy. You've got to have a cadence. So if I sent that InMail on Monday, mm-hmm. then maybe Wednesday I'll go to the sent box and reply and just say, hey, Jeff, just checking to see if you got this note. That's it.
So that's interesting. And that the tactic that's often used in traditional email prospecting is the re and the forward, right? And so you're saying that same tactic applies in InMails, where you can literally reply and keep the thread there in InMail.
And by the way, a lot of people don't know this, but if you do the reply, it doesn't count as an extra InMail.
Okay, we won't tell anybody.
Don't tell LinkedIn.
Like this alone, everyone, audience, let's give, you know, big props to Lindsay. I'm propping her right now. I mean, that alone is gold. So the reply does not take away from your InMail credits.
Fantastic. A lot of people don't know that. So don't send a net new email or InMail. You want to make sure you do the reply, because then they can see how persistent you are too.
Right. Perfect. And that's, so I have the outline here. So something relevant, 2 to 3 minutes on relevance, reference your connections, not the authority to connect, but the shared connections. Go in for the kill, ask for the connection or networking, cover your company, and then name drop other organizations you're working with of their peer set, and then go in for the close.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic framework. And it's effectively then the, so this is it's a traditional strategy, just applied much more intelligently. And once again, with high degrees of relevance and from a personalized standpoint, using the technology at our disposal. And so what are your response rates, Lindsay?
Well, typically it's between 50 and 60%.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yep.
That's great. That's great. And what would you say, so do you track, just out of curiosity, so what, you know, we've talked about Salesforce a lot via LinkedIn. So when do you open an opportunity actually? So do you, is that person have a lead status in Salesforce or do you make them a contact?
And when I work on a contact only level, and there's a lot of reasons why, which could probably be a whole nother session.
Absolutely.
But in my contact, I will put that they responded to the email, and I'll actually copy and paste over the email that they wrote me. Mm-hmm. And then I will ask, okay, Jeff, can we meet on Tuesday at 2? They accept. I have the meeting. And if they are qualified, so they meet my three standards that I need to move to an opportunity, then I create the opportunity. But for tracking purposes, I want to know when my emails are performing. I want to know my performance rate. So that is when I track the activity. So if I see activity equals LinkedIn, and then I can see a call happen, that's how I measure my success with emails.
Fantastic. Fantastic. That's great. And so those, do you mind sharing those three milestones that, you know, qualify something as an opportunity?
Yeah. For us at Etail Insights, mm-hmm. it's that they have to have a sales organization. So they have to have sales team. Mm-hmm. They have to want to be prospecting retailers in the USA, and they have to have a B2C presence.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. And then there you go. There's an opportunity. And then do you see these opportunities closing at a faster rate than, say, other maybe inbound leads or referrals, you know, just out of curiosity, any of those metrics?
To be honest, the last 3 years, the two companies I worked for, the one now and the one before, inbound leads were very, very rare.
Right.
So it is hard to measure against that just because they were so rare. But I will tell you that if we hadn't have done the in-mailing and we hadn't have been proactive in in-mails, we wouldn't have had those meetings, and therefore we would have no, basically hardly any business closing as quickly as it were that we did.
Right, right. So. Cool, good. Well, this is fantastic. I mean, there are so many great nuggets of information here. You know, and we of course will be, you know, I'm recording this session, and not only are we doing a live stream here, but this will be uploaded to the YouTube channel. And then we'll, of course, repurpose this and take it in little bits and pieces and have the full stream available and then have little features over the course of time. But this is the last topic, and we may want to even take a couple questions from some of the audience and even invite one person in for a question. So get ready. In about 2 minutes, we're going to have somebody kind of pop in to ask Lindsay directly a question directly. So regarding the social selling index, you know, you've received wide acclaim. Are you still a 99?
Today I'm at 97.
Oh, you know.
Blacking.
I went down two points to a 91. I was like, what the, you know? So I was this morning like sharing some of that just to juice my score a little bit.
I'm just glad that I took my screenshot of 99 because I had to have proof, and I'm so glad I did. And I've been using it for a lot of different articles, so I'm glad I did. But yeah.
Yeah. So, and here's the deal, right? The good news is the social selling index, it's not a vanity metric. I mean, we're all proud of our scores. You should be especially proud. It's not a vanity metric. How does it help you be more productive, and how does it help you focus your efforts?
Couple of different ways. I think the SSI score for a team, internal team, is really good competitive metric. Mm-hmm. So when I was leading a team of inside sales reps, we used it as a competitive metric, and we did a spiff 1 week. Hey, whoever can break 90 first gets a $100 gift card to Starbucks. Nice. So I think internally it's really healthy, but I think the vanity part can definitely happen very quickly if you are recognized and then all of a sudden you want to keep that stat. But I do know that people with a higher SSI score, there have been studies, not by me, but by LinkedIn and a bunch of groups, that people that have a higher SSI score are more likely to go to club, are 51% more likely to hit their quota. So I do take it seriously, but I would say don't get obsessed with it like I once was, because when you start commenting on random things that actually don't pique your interest and you're just doing it to comment, that's when it's a low point. And no, I did that. And I'm the first to admit that it was a bad call, but I was so obsessed with trying to get 100. Then I was just like, you know what, guys, this could be a full-time job if I wanted it to be. So just
right.
What I would say is I never got to my SSI score at the LinkedIn conference by trying. I just did it because I prospect on LinkedIn.
Right, right. Perfect. And that's great. And you're dead on. We talk about this. I talk about this with the team all the time. Well, clout score vanity metric. This could be a vanity metric, but just quite frankly, then, you know, there are four components to the social selling index, and forcing yourself, and you want to be relevant. You're not trying to gain the score, but literally saying, geez, you know, here's an account or here's a lead I'm following that had a status update. I'm going to go in and I'm going to, I see they made a relevant, they had a share that was very interesting and compelling. And we had a client this morning, and I use this for current clients as well as prospecting. So, you know, Sales Navigator is a great way to stay in touch with current clients as well. And adding those little comments or those, you know, planting those little seeds, and those seeds germinate over time, either to build relationships or just maintain relationships. It's a phenomenal strategy. And you, as long as we keep, and we're all tuned into this, you know, the notion of relevance and not just spammy to juice a score, it's just a good practice. It's simply a good practice to remind yourself to go in and share and learn and try to add value at every turn.
Absolutely.
So that's cool. So that's good. Well, this is great. You know, we're coming to the end of the program here. There's several questions. I do want to answer one question here from Tanner Fredrickson, our buddy. Which subscription of LinkedIn are you using? And more specifically, how many emails are you allotted per month?
So I'm using Sales Navigator and we get 30 per month.
Okay.
But when you get a response, you get that credited back to your account.
Nice. Okay, good, good. So it's like rollover minutes. Beautiful, beautiful. Absolutely. And we have other folks that are claiming it is a vanity metric. But once again, I think from a coaching standpoint, internally speaking, it's a great way to coach your team. And yeah, you want to appeal to their, you know, competitive nature to get their score up, you know, relative to the team. But it's just that behavior that it's a great way to move forward. So
sure.
We don't have anyone that's jumped into a seat. So we're going to wrap it up. And you have a lot of work to do, right? You're going to probably close two more deals and then wrap a lot of presents. So this was a lot of fun. I'm glad we could have the Blab experience. We're going to, you know, do this over the course of time. But Lindsay was thrilled to have you as our first guest on the program. And wish you much success in 2016. And it's been a lot of fun getting to know you here this year.
You too. Thank you so much, Jeff. Have a great Christmas.
Thanks. You too. Happy New Year. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.